It really is the right person to do.
Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
37 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Fuller is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor John Larson of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
Let us pray. O Lord, as Christians throughout the world today begin the solemn and holy season of Lent, a time for deep self-examination and spiritual growth and renewal, we pray that all of us, no matter what our faith or creed, might look honestly and openly at our lives. Help us to remove all of the barriers that prevent us from becoming the loving and caring persons that we were created to be. Give us the will and the courage to do all in our power to establish a more just and humane world, a world in which all people might come to know the joy and meaning of life that you desire for us. Amen.
Will the Chief Clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 37th day in House Supplement Number 17.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 37th day and House Supplement Number 17 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Behind me in Gallery A, we have a gentleman visiting from Kenai this morning, a friend of Representative Malone and myself, Mr. Bill Crumpacker.
Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 33, requesting the Governor to direct action relating to the investment and loan of the State General Fund surplus and relating to the participation of financial institutions with the Division of Business Loans and loan programs of benefit to the state's economy. Legislative Resolve Number 1. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I also have another letter from the Governor to Representative Gardner regarding the benefits from the oil wealth, which belong to all Alaskans, can be distributed in many ways. It's 4 pages long. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. I have no further messages from this Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Mr. Charles Keem College to the Guide Licensing and Control Board, confirming Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Carney, Jaroff, and Osterbach. Signed sincerely, Representative Osterbach, co-chairman. The House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Mr. William Stroker Fairbanks to the Guide Licensing and Control Board, confirmation. Osterbach, Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Carney, and Jaroff. Signed sincerely, Representative Osterbach, co-chairman. The House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of Mr. Norman Sutliff, Kodiak, to the Guide Licensing and Control Board. Confirm Osterbach, Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Carney, and Jaroff. Signed sincerely, Representative Osterbach, co-chairman. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 183, providing for public disclosure of contractors and the terms of public contracts under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Osterbach, Randolph, Halford, Munson, and Brown. House Bill 183 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has set House Bill 217, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 217 Finance and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Moss, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Schaefer, Guy, Haugen, and Montgomery. House Bill 217 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce is at House Bill 326, amending the prohibition against holding shares in multiple professional corporations under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Bettesworth, Munson, Brown, and Randolph. House Bill 326 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for House Bill 392 relating to domestic violence under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Moss, Duncan, McKinnon, Schaefer, Guy, and Smith. Committee substitute for House Bill 392 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 275, a special appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 275 Finance and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Moss, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Schaefer, Guy, Montgomery, and Haugen. House Bill 275 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 471 by Metcalf, Anderson, Barnes, Byrne, Bettesworth, Carney, Cotton, Hayes, Hurlburt, Martin, Montgomery, and Rogers. An act relating to resident hire tax credit and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management and Finance.
House Bill 887 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council. An act relating to municipal transportation systems.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 888 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for combined transportation systems and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 889 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act relating to the inspection of agricultural products by the Department of Natural Resources and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
House Bill 890 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act relating to ownership of real property by non-resident aliens and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Judiciary.
House Bill 891 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act making special appropriations to the University of Alaska, Department of Natural Resources, and the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the purpose of agricultural development and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 892 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act requiring the Department of Education to develop and operate a program of agricultural education services and providing for an effective date.
Yes.
House Bill 893 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act establishing the Alaska Agricultural Products Quality and Marketing Board and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 894 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act relating to agricultural loans under AS 310 and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 895 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of a road to the Homer Slaughterhouse and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 896 by the Special Agriculture Committee. An act relating to the classification of land.
Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar? House, please stand at ease. Please read the first item on the calendar.
Have we already done that?
Yes.
We have adopted the Judiciary Committee substitute. Will the clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Randolph. It starts page one, line 18. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Amendment has been moved and the objection is noted.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I think the amendment is self-explanatory. There's two changes in the bill, but the intent of both changes is to make it possible for the adults or emancipated minors that's affected by this bill to have the right to ask the officer or demand that the officer leave and let them settle their own problem. It seems to me that, if my wife's beating on me and I thought I needed help and all of a sudden I decide I maybe like it, I should be able to tell the policeman to leave.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment, while it is distributed in people's desks, does two different things. On page one of the bill, it would amend the section that that requires the officer to use, to use his judgment about staying on the scene as long as necessary to prevent danger to the physical safety of the victim by allowing the victim to request the officer to leave. And I don't know if that's necessary to put in the bill. I presume the victim can do that anyway, but I don't have a particular objection to that section of the amendment. But it also, on page two of the bill, would change the rights that are listed under 9 and 10, where it says, as a victim of domestic violence, you have the right to demand the officer do the following things. And right now it says, take the person to a place of safety and then provide certain information. And it says that it would read, if the amendment on page 2 were adopted, that as a victim of domestic violence, you have the right to demand that the officer immediately leave the premise and refrain from further involvement in the incident. Well, the reason that I object particularly to the amendment on page 2, line 15, is that the officer may encounter cases where a crime has been committed, and in the judgment of the officer, maybe what needs to do is to make the investigation of that crime. And on the other hand, he has somebody telling him that as a matter of right under the law, that he has to immediately leave the premise and refrain from further involvement in the incident. And I think that the amendment on the second part of this amendment, at least, is pretty much contrary to established public policy, and object to the amendment mainly on that basis. I don't think that amendment should be adopted.
Representative Randolph.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I think that if the police officer obviously determines there's a crime being committed, he obviously has a right to stay on the scene and do whatever he has to do to bring charges, to investigate, to save evidence, all of that type of thing. This amendment in no way, I don't believe, would not prohibit him from doing those kind of things if he determines there's a crime been committed and he's going to bring charges and wants to investigate and preserve evidence and do all the things that he's supposed to do. What the bill's related to is domestic violence, and you have a family quarrel, and the person who initially called for the assistance, or the neighbor maybe called for the assistance, and you got talking about two adults who don't want the policeman there while they're continuing their argument. And they should, it seems to me, have the right to ask him to leave.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm reluctantly going to have to oppose the amendment. We have a strong belief in home being a castle and all those things, but we took testimony on this bill all the state during the interim, and I think one of the things that came through pretty clearly was that these victims are usually pretty well afraid of their spouses. And they're afraid a lot of times because it isn't the first time they've been beaten up. I just have an uncomfortable feeling that if the two of them are there and the victim may be so afraid of the one that's been beating her up that she's going to want to tell the policeman to leave, and even though it might not be the best thing for her, but simply because of fear. And so I guess I'll have to oppose that.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, if the person, whether it be man or woman, is really afraid of what the other person is going to do to him the minute that policeman leaves, they sure as heck aren't going to ask him to leave.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kind of agree with Representative Parr here. What ensures me about this Second Amendment on page 2 is that refrain from further involvement in the incident. And we know that a lot of times there might be a domestic problem, where the person comes and the officer comes and sobs it and everything happy-go-lucky, and then the parties begin drinking again, and then there is violence, and there might be a crime the second time, or even if there isn't a crime, he suddenly gets the call on his radio, and he said, well, I went to Mrs. So-and-so home an hour ago, and she told me not to get involved anymore. And so we might have some real trouble on the second time that is called, and I don't think that this amendment would help the bill at all.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I oppose the amendment. I think that the committee heard that the problem with police officers will not be interfering with people's privacy and domestic matters. The testimony we heard, my experience in 10 years practicing law and representing people on both sides of the sorts of domestic disputes described in this bill, indicate that the attitude of law enforcement officers is they want to get out of there. They find domestic disputes to be a no-win situation. They've had a history of trying to help when they're junior officers or green on the force and that sort of thing, and then finding that because of coercion or whatever, somebody who might be the complainant in a criminal action arising out of a domestic dispute will drop charges. And as a result, there's been almost an avoidance of this kind of a situation by the police as a result of that kind of negative experience. And the kind of testimony we had before the Judiciary Committee was concern that the officer doesn't have to do all these things while he's out and there are radio calls coming in on allegedly more serious crimes, whatever that means. And this was the kind of testimony we had from the state troopers. So I don't think that there's, I guess the amendment addresses a non-problem. I urge its defeat.
Representative Randolph.
In conclusion, Mr. Speaker, I think the opposition to the amendment exemplifies the paternalistic nature the government has taken over our lives. I think we ought to pass the amendment.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
5 yeas, 31 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Halford and Malone. Page 6, line 19. Delete the word involuntarily. Line 20, delete by force, threat of force, or duress. Replace with without consent as defined in AS 1141-473.
Representative Halford.
Move the amendment.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Halford.
The term duress is only statutorily defined as a defense against a criminal act. It's not defined in the terms that you're dealing with in this bill. You would go back to a Black's Law common dictionary or common dictionary definition of the term duress, and the term is broader than was apparently intended in this section. The amendment replaces the section dealing with force, threat of force, or duress with the criminal code definition of without consent. This definition includes the things that were intended to be in the bill, and it ties it back into the criminal code.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I favor the amendment. I think it's a good one. And if the mover of the amendment should wish to transfer some resources to Judiciary, we'd be very happy to have him.
Is there objection maintained to the amendment? There's no further objection. Amendment number 2 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, before we move from second reading, I'd like to ask a question about the bill. Perhaps the sponsor could explain. I noticed this yesterday. It was before finance, but there was no one there to discuss it. The last page 7, I guess, page 7 and page 8, which amends present statutes to give preference to veterans and to victims of domestic violence for housing units. I'm wondering if perhaps the sponsor could explain the rationale behind that, how this was looked at. It appears to me that, that many of these victims of domestic violence may not really be the type of people who are in need of housing, that we have many low-income people who may be on waiting lists to get into a housing project, and just because there's domestic violence in the home, it all of a sudden moves them further down the list and puts somebody who may have money ahead of them, as I read this. It gives them preference. Veterans and victims of domestic violence have preference to housing. And I'm not sure why that's being done or why that's necessary.
Representative Malone.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the section of the law here dealing with the housing provided through Alaska State Housing Authority, the ASHA statutes. At present, the law provides a preference, existing preference, to veterans. And what this would do would be to add another preference for the victims of domestic violence. Now, both in the case of the veterans and would be the case also for victims of domestic violence, there are family confirmation standards, there's income levels and so forth, all of which a person has to qualify for to be on the list in the first place, and that isn't changed. But if a low-income person, say for low-income housing, otherwise qualified, applied for this housing, then they would be given a preference under the basically on the same terms that veterans are. It would not be taking people who have money, who have other means to secure other types of housing, and moving them into state low-cost housing. It's not the intent of that. It's just simply that people who already would qualify for the space and the housing would be given a preference because the situation or the conditions under which they're living at present are unsafe, not just from a viewpoint of housing, but from a viewpoint of the personal relationships. So it's not intended to allow people to qualify for housing regardless of income levels or anything else, but if the person were otherwise qualified, it would then give them a preference. And the department, or the authority, would have to adopt regulations to implement that. I don't know if that answers totally the question raised by Representative Duncan, but we're not talking about short-term housing either. We're talking about a case where somebody, has to have to move out of the home that they have been living in, and they're going to stay out of that home. They need, someplace else to live permanently. And so this was a suggestion made in the original bill, and after discussing it with the director, Mr. Goldbar, for Alaska State Housing Authority, he suggested the language that basically appears in the bill to accomplish that purpose, and he did inform the committee that the people involved would have to meet the other standards for that housing in order to receive the preference.
Representative Duncan.
Well, Mr. Speaker, with that explanation, perhaps the problem is taken care of. I just didn't see here where it mentioned any income requirements at all. Perhaps that's mentioned in present statute or in present regulation. The language I was looking at is on line 15, 16, and 17. It says that victims of domestic violence who move from their homes to avoid further domestic violence have first preference, and other residents have second preference, which is pretty all-inclusive. So you're putting veterans and victims of domestic violence, the way I see this language, over and above any other consideration. But perhaps it's taken care of.
Representative Malone?
Yeah. The in order to get into these housing projects at all, the other standards have to be met. And so it, I think that that part of it is taken care of. But coming back to try to clarify how this preference works or would work, it says if we look on page 7 under where section 3 of the bill begins, say start on line 10. It says the authority shall set aside these units for rental or sale to veterans for at least 30 days following first publication of those before making them available to other residents. Okay. That takes care of the veterans and the veterans' preference under the present law. Then it says, if the unit remains unassigned after the 30-day period, the authority may rent or sell it to any person in the state. Now, when it says any person in the state, that's existing law, and there are standards for those persons. But anyhow, if after the 30-day period for the veterans' preference, the unit remains unassigned, the authority may sell it to any, may rent or sell to any person in the state, provided that victims of domestic violence who move from their homes to avoid further domestic violence have first preference and other residents of second preference. So that under the way the legislation's written, basically victims of domestic violence have first preference after the first preference is granted to the veterans under the existing law, lines 10 through 13.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, about two or three sentences from a letter from Mr. Goldbar, the director of the authority. The United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, is ASHA's primary funding source and has a substantial amount of statutory and regulatory control of ASHA's actions. We have attempted to reword the legislation in order to resolve potential state law, federal law conflicts and to clarify an area subject to alternative interpretations. And then later he says that federal regulations and statements of policies govern federally subsidized projects. So this is family confirmation that Mr. Malone mentioned is covered in those federal regulations, and people do have to meet those, family confirmation and the income standards, things of that sort.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to some of the original supporters of the bill, that preference is one of the most important portions of the bill, particularly in some of the areas of the state, including rural areas.
Is there further debate? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 392, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 392 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 392, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to domestic violence and changing rules 3, 65, and 76, rules of civil procedure.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, there was some question about the fiscal note, and I'd just like to explain what we did in finance on that. The original fiscal note was $511,000. The adjusted fiscal note is $50,000, which would pay training costs for consultant and the travel to do that training. The committee included in the $511,000 were requests for 5 new troopers and travel to bring people to the shelters. And there was some question as to whether the travel would duplicate what was already in the shelter budgets, or whether the money should perhaps rather be in the shelter budgets instead of public safety. Since we did want to get this bill back, the Free Conference Committee on the Budget is going to be considering whether or not those troopers are needed during the free conference process. But the fiscal note is amended down just to the $50,000 that we believe we're pretty sure is justified.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, very briefly, one thing the committee was convinced of as it went around the state last fall was the magnitude of the problem. And that was in every place we went: Ketchikan, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Bethel, and Nome. And there's no question of the size of the problem. Now, I know I personally have some difficulty in accepting the fact that this might be the answer, or at least an answer. I don't understand why women don't move away from home, file charges, and have their husbands brought to trial, and then testify against them and have them sent to jail. I frankly think that the men who beat up their wives deserve that. They ought to be sent to jail, and they ought to stay there for a while to think about it. However, we got enough testimony as to reasons that isn't done, and as I said, I'm not convinced this is the final answer to this problem. I do think it's a step in the right direction, and I might point out it's something relatively new. Four states have adopted similar legislation, but only as recently as last year or two, so there's been no chance for experience around the country to see how well it really works. I think we ought to try it, and then we'll see how it works. We can amend it or change it later if that's necessary. But it is a step toward what is quite clearly a serious problem in this state.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I confess I did shout question when we got to third reading, bending the rules as some of us frequently do. But I thought I would point out that one of the reasons I didn't originally co-sponsor this bill were some concerns I had about language. That was the concerns that were taken care of in the Judiciary Committee. I think that the markup in the committee has assured adequate due process for all parties concerned, and yet it is a good, serious attempt to remedy the kinds of problems that were addressed during the committee hearings in the interim, and I urge its passage.
Is there further debate? Question for the House is the adoption of as the final vote on House Bill number 392. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 392 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 392 amended by the House be considered as a roll call for the adoption of the court rule changes 365 and 76.
There's no objection. The final roll call will be shown as the roll call on section 5 of the bill containing the court rule changes. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring Fred Eastaugh by Representatives Duncan and Miller.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, there may be members interested in co-sponsoring. I guess perhaps I could first ask it to be shown sponsored by all members of the House.
There's no objection. Citation will be shown as sponsored by all members of the House.
Move adoption of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted unanimously by the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation honoring Clinton James Egan by Senators Gurtula and Ray.
Representative Anderson.
I move adoption of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted. Clerk, please read the next item.
Citation honoring Joel D. Weigert by Senators Curtula and Ray.
Representative Anderson.
Move adoption of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted. Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we have in, I think you members have had distributed to them Senate Bill number 113. Last year we included on the bill an amendment, and anyway, there was some discussion on the floor of the House, and it's finally wended its way back here. And so now there is agreement that the Senate version of the bill in its original form is the way we ought to go with it. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to move. I so move that the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill number 113, thus adopting Senate Bill number 113. I ask members to vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Senate Bill number 113 by Sackett and Ferguson, an act relating to the waste of wild food animals.
Is there a question or debate? The question for the House is a motion to recede from the House amendments to Senate Bill number 113. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
33 yeas, no nays.
House has receded from its amendments to Senate Bill number 113. Are there other items unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like for the State Affairs Committee to waive House Bill 552. This is legislation relating to the Hall Road. Just for the information of the body, however, I might mention, Mr. Speaker, that I'm having some alternate language drafted, which will be introduced as a State Affairs approach to that, to the same subject, and I would anticipate that perhaps you would give the same reference to that new bill that that you'll give to this bill after this waiver right now.
With concurrence of the chairman, I'm going to waive referral of House Bill 552 to the State Affairs Committee and refer it to the Commerce Committee. It also has an additional referral to the Finance Committee. Sir, other items unfinished business? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to deal with House Bill 370 relating to regulating layaway sales.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock on House Bill 624, the bill dealing with the change of the Royalty Board. And if we don't conclude our work on it, we'll meet tonight at 7.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, House State Affairs will not meet today. Earlier, I told some of the members that we'd be late, but as a matter of fact, we will not meet at all. This is because of the Legislative Council meeting that I think Mr. McKinnon will be announcing shortly.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Speaker. Judiciary will meet at 3 this afternoon, sunset review on the Bar Association. And, Mr. Speaker, instead of our usual 7:30 meeting tonight, we're meeting at 6 o'clock for a teleconference on the sunset review of the Bar Association. That's simply the only time the network was available. So all members, please remember 6 o'clock tonight for the teleconference.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, continuing work and hearing on 651, establishing a community college system. Also, we'll be interviewing the student regent at the first part of the meeting.
Representative McKinnon.
As Mr. Miller indicated, there will be a legislative council meeting today at 1:30, and I believe it'll be in the Senate Finance Chambers.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, the House Labor Management will be meeting in the Bell Room at noon, 12 o'clock, to be taking up the resident hiring tax bill 471.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, the ad hoc committee on loans will meet at 4 o'clock today.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a short Republican caucus on adjournment.
Other announcements? Special orders. Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to apologize to and explain to some of the members of this body who co-sponsored House Bill 471. I ask a committee substitute be drawn to strengthen it and slightly revise it. The revisions are basically a strengthening effort to put a little more teeth in 471. And I just got the draft last night, so I put it in this morning, and if I'd have had time, I'd have passed it by all the co-sponsors. There were no substantial changes in it. I've been asked that question a couple times, and I thought I'd better explain it. And apologize for not being able to get it to you quicker. Just so you understand.
There are further special orders. Representative Anderson.
I move we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection, adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.